This week on Hyperspace Broadcasts, Krillin realizes that he can't tell Namekians apart.
Now, do you think that's because Krillin is racist, or maybe because Toriyama can only draw three different faces?
Welcome to Hyperspace Broadcasts. This is a podcast where we discuss our memories of a specific Toonami program for watching it and trying to determine if it's worth revisiting. I'm Michael Doak.
I'm Peter Eby.
And this week, we're talking about Dragon Ball Z, episodes 41 through 50.
The last block of this chunk that we're watching. We'll get back to it later.
Yeah.
So after our long journey, we finally encountered the Ginyu Force.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to the Ginyu Force at the end of this. Unfortunately, they don't really show up for very long.
Okay.
Anyway, so this block, again, like the previous blocks, I guess the previous two, kind of, has been somewhat plot-intensive. I think an overview would be pretty simple to say that essentially Vegeta survives the fight against Zarbon, gets taken to Frieza's ship. He gets...
They want to like keep him alive, get information out of him or whatever.
Yeah, for some reason. So they heal him up and then he sort of tricks Frieza and Zarbon, throws their entire collection of Dragon Balls off into the distance, and then escapes. And of course, because nobody has scouters, he can pretty easily just hide from them.
Frieza is pissed.
Yeah, of course. So Frieza gets pissed off at Zarbon, of course. Essentially tells him he needs to go get Vegeta. Zarbon's just kind of impotently flying around looking, which... You'd think that it's pointless. You know, I'm thinking about this, like, it's really fortunate for these characters that across the entire planet, they run into each other literally at all.
Yeah, really.
It helps,
yeah, with Zarbon, especially, and, like, any of the Frieza characters without scouters. Like,
yeah.
You know, at least Vegeta has an excuse. He's learned how to sense power levels and crap. Same with the other human characters. Not quite Bulma. It's like, how do they ever run into each other?
Yeah, and also, especially, like, this is another thing that I've been thinking about lately, which, excuse me for the comparison, but... you know, there's this episode where Vegeta blows up the Namekian village, and that's, like, last block, I think, somewhere around there. And he then hides a Dragon Ball by just, like, throwing it into a lake. Now, Namek, as I've said before, the planet, has almost no variation of terrain. And I was thinking about this, and I was like, you know... Namek is basically like a planet in no man's sky in that there are no landmarks, really, because it all looks basically the same.
Like one unique terrain.
Yeah, like how is he going to find that village again, even? Everyone's dead. It's not like he can sense anybody there. Like,
that's a good point.
Just fly in circles, I guess. In like a search pattern until he eventually finds it.
I remember exactly what this lake looks like.
What do they eat?
What?
I don't know.
What do who eat? Why did that come up?
I'm not entirely sure. There's just like, there's no food on this planet either. All the Namekians just drink water. Yeah, but what about like Vegeta?
I'm sure they've got like some senzu bullshit.
Or like animals, I guess, that he can kill.
Evil senzu bean.
Evil... Yeah, Lombus bread.
Frieza beans.
Yeah, something like that.
Senzu hummus.
Ooh. Would that supercharge you, or would it be less powerful?
I think it would kill you. It's like too much.
Yeah, it'd be like...
Can you overdose on senzu beans?
That's a good question. Like, if you ate just a handful of senzu beans at once, what would happen? Would it be like Bane, like, overdosing on venom or something?
Oh, I want to see that. Muscles, I want to see Goku fucking lose his shit and explode.
Like, yeah, contact us, Toye. We have an idea for the next Dragon Ball Z movie.
Oh, gonna, man.
Or I guess Dragon Ball Super
strung
movie.
Strung out on senzu beans. It's just like future Trunks is just a junkie.
Yeah, what if... That would actually be really
They're
interesting.
They're all going to car and like, hit me up.
Right.
Come on, man.
What if you became addicted to senzu beans, so you had to eat them to maintain any kind of strength?
Yeah, right. I mean, they would be addictive probably, because it's like you eat them and you instantly feel better.
Right.
And it's like,
right.
Well, shit, I'm tired after a long day at work. I haven't been beaten up by an alien or anything like in Dragon Ball Z, but if I took a senzu bean, I'd feel 1,000% better. Hmm. Fucking give me a senzu bean.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
nice. Green chili.
Sure, I guess. It's an interesting concept that won't be explored for a number of good reasons. Like, actually,
now,
it's not that great an idea.
They did sell senzu beans at FYE.
Yeah, I remember.
That we got. And they were just little green candies.
Yeah, they were like jelly beans.
Yeah. A little disappointing. I didn't feel very energized after eating those.
I mean, there was like a very slight sugar rush, I would imagine. And also the rush of just being dumb teenagers and like, oh, we got senzu beans. Because I remember we ate them and then would just yell like we were super powered or whatever. Oh, boy. getting back to the plot stuff. Vegeta steals all these Dragon Balls. He runs into Krillin because Krillin, after being supercharged basically by the eldest Namek or Guru, is not being smart about his power usage. Like, he's not hiding. He's just blazing
literally
through the sky.
Flying around screaming about how powerful he is. Oh, yeah, I'm jamming. Like, yeah. Great, Krillin.
Krillin's really like a pro wrestler, just yelling about how awesome he is.
And when he charges him, and it's really awkward when eldest Namek reaches his hand out and he completely cups Krillin's bald head.
Yeah, because the eldest
just looks
Namek
like he's gonna like lift
huge.
Him up and throw him.
He's like the size of, you know, two Jabba the Hutts. Like,
yeah,
he's enormous.
And he talks like this. It's just like, and Krillin's just like, I don't feel anything. He's like, you should have the power by now. And there's like a beat, and then Krillin's like, I feel it! I have the power! He just starts screaming like he's from Eternia. Fucking...
Yeah, right. Oh, I was going to point that. Exactly. It's fucking He-Man, pretty much.
And for like the rest of the entire block, he's just bragging about how strong he is. We never see it. He's like, at some point, power level is compared to Vegeta's, which I guess that'd be cool if he kicked Vegeta's ass once, but nope. He'll probably just get his ass beat by a Guinea Force member next block.
Yeah, I mean, really, Krillin, of course, boasts a lot about his power and then doesn't really show it that much. Well, that's not completely fair. I think Frieza has called in this group of dudes called the Guinea Force, who are essentially a Sentai parody, in that they're five elite warriors, supposedly all of whom have special abilities that make them unique, but we only really get to see, like, three of those characters' abilities. And
they all pose, like, they all have poses for their own thing, and, like, special attacks, and for, like, the Guinea, you know, they just call out, like, I'm a member of the Guinea Force, Raccoon, and he's just a stupid-ass pose. They all do these, like, silly poses, and they're the best characters.
Yeah, they really
are.
They're
so ridiculous.
Well, and it's funny, too, because they're, I think, the first, silly villains in Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Which, I gotta say, looking back, in our first episode, we had a kind of discussion/argument about the relative seriousness of Dragon Ball Z as a show. And I gotta say, you were pretty much right. I was totally wrong.
No, this show's so serious.
This show is does not take itself very seriously, and there are certainly points where it does, but I think that it's a pretty good balance to the point where I really can't say that it's dark or gritty in any capacity whatsoever. That was completely incorrect.
Oh, that's gratifying.
Yeah, you were right on that one. It is no Suicide Squad, for example.
Is Suicide Squad really that gritty of a movie?
No. It's like it's a movie that's part gritty and part... It basically takes the Dragon Ball Z...
Part shitty. Part gritty, all shitty.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not sure I'd go that far, but I will say that it's like Dragon Ball Z in that it's both serious and silly, but like pushed even further in either direction so that they don't meet in the middle as much. Also, it's live action, so there's the inherent barrier where it seems weirder that those two things are so intermeshed, I guess. I don't know.
Sure.
But essentially, the point is,
in any case,
the Ginyu Force is the first example of a group of villains that are very silly.
And they're hilarious. Yeah, they're hilarious because they're just like, they're so ridiculous and they're so feared and powerful. And they come in and they're all color coded and they're all doing poses and all like ridiculous
outfits.
They're
not exactly color coded, but
they're sort of color coded. And like every time they like argue with each other and try and bet, like oh, I want to fight him next. No, I want to fight him next. And they just play rock, paper, scissors. And they play rock, paper, scissors like 1,000 times in a row. Like it's best out of 1,000. Fucking every single time they get the exact same, like somehow between three players, they keep getting scissors or rock or paper and all at the same time. And I think my favorite part is they land, they get out, they do their poses in front of Frieza, and Frieza's just looking at them with like a sweat drop going down his face, just like pissed off.
Yeah,
looking.
Frieza is
so funny.
I wouldn't even say pissed off, he's just completely baffled by them.
Embarrassed.
Which is strange, because, you know, if this is Frieza's elite force of, you know, super badasses, you would think he's met them like once and witnessed this. I guess maybe... you never get fully used to a bunch of your super dudes like betting chocolate bars on who wins a fight or threatening to kick one of the other members out of the bowling team. Like, there's a lot of references to the various, I guess, perks that the Ginyu Force enjoys that are really funny to me.
Yeah, they have like a gym club or whatever.
Apparently they have a gym membership.
Goldo, the squat fat one who can use the time stopping power, he's just constantly talking about he should have taken advantage of his gym membership and shit.
Yeah, because of course he's fat, like you gotta
what do you know, Dragon Ball Z.
And also at a complete disadvantage because, and I noticed this while watching it, every member of the Ginyu Force except Goldo has a scouter on. But he doesn't because he has eyes where his ears should be. So he has four eyes, essentially.
Yeah.
So he's just fucked. Like, if he's ever separated from them, what's he going to do? He's never going
to... He just gets lost.
Yeah, he's screwed. He's not going to be able to find anybody. Oh, boy. Yeah.
And he actually gets killed, like, right off the bat, too, which is...
Yeah.
Surprising.
Well, and that's why I say that I think that Krillin does get to kind of show that he's badass. Krillin takes Gohan to see Guru as well at some point, and the two of them take on Goldo, who is admittedly one of the weaker members of the Ginyu Force, and he's apparently only really on it because he can stop time for as long as he can hold his breath. So,
oh, yeah, I forgot that little stipulation. I like that.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea for time stopping. And also, he has telekinesis,
like
basically. He can paralyze people, as he does to Gohan and Krillin in midair. But before he paralyzes them, they're pretty much making mincemeat out of him. Like, he can't really stand up to them. Even stopping time, they are fast enough that it doesn't really matter.
Because all he does when he stops time is, like, they fire an energy blast, he stops time, he moves out of the way. That's it. Like, until he finally paralyzes them. And we have one of the weirdest moments of censorship where he starts beating the shit out of them while they're frozen in the air.
Yeah.
And it and it covers it with like this white, this awful looking white cloud, which is like painted on, and it looks really terrible. They just like cover up them fighting him, because I guess it's like too brutal to have him beat up someone who's completely defenseless like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's beating up, especially like, because at first I was like, oh, it's because it's beating up Gohan, like he's a kid,
right?
And then they do it to Krillin, and it's the same thing. It's like, all right.
Yeah, well, okay, so it's interesting weird. Because we haven't really mentioned this before, and I've been meaning to bring it up for a while, but for whatever reason, we just never do. But in this dub, or this edit, I guess, there's a lot of this specific form of censorship where, essentially, when someone's hit in the face, they'll have, like, this star over their face.
Yeah.
To, I guess, not show kids the brutality of someone being punched in the face.
But it's like for half a second, too.
Yeah, it's really, really strange. And the reason I bring it up...
They kind of do that in, like, the Batman animated series or something like that, except it was baked in.
I don't think so. Like, maybe? It is,
like hits
it
the
is
face,
vaguely
it
like the Adam West Batman, like, punch, cut to sound, full screen sound effect thing. But it's pretty weird, and I bring it up mostly because it reminded me the first time I actually saw it of Spider-Man Cartoon Maker. Yeah, right. I've been meaning to bring this
we're
up
talk
forever.
About Spider-Man Cartoon Maker.
But for those unfamiliar, it was essentially a like CD-ROM for early Windows, that like Windows 98, I think. That would allow you to totally make your own unique Spider-Man cartoons. And as a, you know, 7-year-old or whatever, my cartoons would inevitably turn into just using the explosion and just covering the screen with it, because I couldn't do anything as cool as I like could imagine.
Oh, and let's make it clear that you were not making cartoons in this for real.
Yeah, no.
You had shitty static backgrounds, and you could like basically control animated GIFs and make them walk around the screen. These repeated GIFs of just like characters walking, basically literally that's it, and maybe Spider-Man swinging around. And for some reason, anytime you'd get a character moving, and you can only have one thing moving at once, anytime you have like one of these character GIFs moving, they play their own unique sound clip. And so for Batman, for Batman, famous Spider-Man character, Batman. Now for Spider-Man, when he's swinging around, it's always playing the same like single guitar riff, just like
Jameson, I believe, is like like just that on a loop as he drags around the screen.
Or like some civilians just like, help me, help.
Yeah, yeah.
Help me, help. Help me, help. I'm good at doing impersonations of all of these, by the way.
Yeah,
the cops
rotation.
Just go, 25 point six. Just walk around. Like, it's generic shit. And, you know, your cartoons just look like these awful stilted things. If you look on YouTube for examples of them, there's some pretty
choice
shit.
Oh, yeah, they're great. And to be fair, like, it has all the interactivity of dragging a mouse across the screen. Like, maybe a little bit more than that, but...
but also, to be fair... It was a fucking fun thing to play with as a kid.
Yeah, certainly. I mean,
there's actually an X-Men one, too, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, there is some other property that I can't remember right now.
I know there was an X-Men one.
Okay. I will say that my experience with it was entirely similar to my experience with drawing a lot of the time, which was like, I had this idea in my head of what it would be, and then I would start making it, and it completely failed.
Oh, man. Tell me about it.
Except that, in that case, I would just, you know, fill the screen with explosions, which look very similar to the Dragon Ball Z anti-face punch censorship star.
Is that really how that's linked?
What? Yeah.
That's really... We went on that tangent just for that?
Yeah, well, we went on the tangent because I wanted to talk about Spider-Man Cartoon Maker, but the reason I thought about it is because...
On our Spider-Man Cartoon Maker podcast.
Man, that would be a hell of a impossible to talk about podcast. Like, let's review the various types of characters you can drag around the screen.
It's addictive to talk about and terrible to listen to.
Yeah, pretty much. Sure. So, I mean, the end of this block is the Ginyu Force sort of, well, it's A, the weird censorship of the cloud of smoke, like Goldo's fucking vaping while beating the crap out of Krillin and Gohan, and then
Goldo would vape if you had like a all list of the Ginyu Force
would vape. I feel like one of their perks is a vape lounge.
Dragon Ball Z characters who vape, who are you gonna list? Goldo's probably number one.
But
Yajirobe maybe, Vegeta early on, but, yes.
Yeah, so Goldo is beating the crap out of him. He takes a tree and intends to shish kebab the two of them with it. And then Vegeta steps in and murders him brutally by chopping off his head in the non-edited version. But here, you know, he just kind of hits him and then his head is edited back on. And he just kind of falls over, and then Vegeta blows him up. So that's the end of Goldo.
Oh, man.
And next up is Raikoum, who we're not going to see because this is the end of this chunk or whatever you want
to
call
Whenever
it.
Whenever we get back to DBZ, we're going straight into Raikoum.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
You know, I'm excited. Although we're also going to go straight into a shittier dub.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, I think there's maybe a couple of episodes. I wish I knew because I thought that it was...
I believe it's like one or two more.
Yeah, I thought that it was 52 episodes total, and that included the weird split-up Tree of Might.
Yeah.
But apparently that's not the case because I, you know, skipped ahead a little bit just to see where the dub changed, and... Boy, that dub change is weird, by the way.
Yeah, it's like any change of like character voices in a cartoon. It's really just throws you off. And it's shitty at first. I will say the Funimation dub does get a lot better. But like starting
at the very least, first broadcast it's run, the thing that we're more familiar with nostalgia-wise.
I definitely prefer Goku's voice in the Funimation dub.
Oh, sure, I guess.
Ocean dub, though. Like, he has a fatherly voice that is, for some reason, appealing.
Sure.
And I don't know why that's what I consider it. But
I get it. I mean, I like Vegeta's voice more in the Ocean dub, for example, because it's just
more
unique, I guess. Like, it's the same voice actor as Zex Marquise / Miliardo Peacecraft in Gundam Wing. So it's sort of a... almost not soft-spoken exactly, but there is a certain, I'd almost want to say vaguely feminine quality to it that's
really, I don't know if I'd call
feminine
that.
Is maybe reaching a bit, it's hard to define actually, but there's a quality to it that's more,
nor would I call it soft.
Yeah, okay,
I
fine,
I disagree with you.
Fine, I'm wrong,
quit trying to make your point. Sorry,
but it's different, is the point, and in the Funimation dub, it's much more of a kind of generic, more tough guy sounding voice, so, I don't know. I mean, it all comes down to personal preference, really, obviously.
Yeah, and we'll get used to whatever they throw at us.
Yeah, and that's really more of a discussion for whenever we get back into Dragon Ball Z than for now, but I guess that's a preview of what we're going to talk about for, I don't know, 10 minutes? And when we get back to Dragon Ball Z.
So, maybe it's time to go to a break. And then after that, we can talk the bets.
Dragon Ball Z will be back in a moment.
Hey, everybody. This is Michael at the break.
Hey, Peter's here, too.
All right. I was about to ask you to introduce yourself. I'm just going to give you guys a lowdown on some other ways you can help support the podcast. One of the ways to help support the podcast is to subscribe on one of the various sites that you can find us on, those being Stitcher, TuneIn, of course, there's always iTunes, and our host site, blueberry.com, which is blubrry.com.
No,
subscribing, of course... Subscribing, of course, shows that you are listening, you are keeping up with us, and, you know, it makes us feel pretty good when we see that kind of stuff, because, like, I guess I can't speak for you, Peter, but I crave external validation.
No, it's gratifying. gravifying.
It's gravifying. It creates gravity and holds us to the earth instead of floating off into space, I guess.
Yeah.
You can interact with us on Facebook at facebook.com/HBpod or Twitter, which is at HBpod. We usually post videos, you know, clips, occasionally sort of photo collages, if you will. We have compared characters to Kid Vid on a few occasions.
It never stops.
I'm never going to stop referencing Kid Vid. That is,
well, you know, we'll stop fucking comparing shit to Kid Vid when they stop showing a bunch of Kid Vids in fucking Toonami shows. But they just keep coming. Tries your might. I wanted to stop after Dana. No.
No, yeah, I thought no, Dana was the real capper, but unfortunately, yeah, we have the Frieza refugee Kid Vids in the invisible spaceship. At any rate, of course, interacting with us there, that'll be a real good time for both of us, I would hope. I don't know, I can't speak for you, but I don't really have much better to do than to tweet at people who support the show.
Sure. Speaking of which, shout outs to Columbus Comics Corner. They've been constantly kind of retweeting our episodes and favoriting and commenting on our stuff, and it's very nice of you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. We do really appreciate it. Our next episode will be up on May 24th, and we'll be back to our thoughts on this block of Dragon Ball Z in just a moment. So we're back, and I guess, you know, we've talked about the synopsis stuff, and we're at a kind of weird point because I don't want to make any, you know, definitive claims on Dragon Ball Z as a whole, but let's talk about our impressions of these 50 episodes, I guess.
Sure.
I don't know why I guess. So what do you think about it?
Yeah, I would say it was a bit of a slog at first. It was real trudging through some of those early filler episodes where there are no stakes to the filler. It's just like, you know, where what I mean is there's nothing like impending really happening. We know there's Raditz is coming or whatever. Gohan's just training.
Or rather, we know that Vegeta and Nappa are coming.
Right, yeah, depending on which set of 10 episodes, but it's like,
well, there's really no filler pre-Raditz. I mean, the show starts with Raditz arriving.
Like, oh, that's true. Yeah, you're right. So filler is, you know, kind of a constant theme in this show, of course. Filler moments, filler episodes. But I definitely had less of a problem with it in the latter episodes of the block. Mm-hmm. I like them exploring space and exploring Namek as a place.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, there's still some shit in there. There's like a whole two episodes devoted to Bulma trying to find a Dragon Ball that fell into a lake
We should talk about that, to be honest, because that is some premier, like, boring, bad filler for the most part.
Yeah, that...
Especially the first episode.
I just kind
episode.
Of remembered that. one of the worst.
These are two episodes in which the first one involves Bulma losing the one Dragon Ball that they've gathered. I guess one of the things that we kind of neglected to mention in the block is that at one point Vegeta gains 6 Dragon Balls except for the one that he's hidden, and Gohan has gone off to get that and sort of tricks Vegeta because they run into each other, of course, despite being on literally a planet. So they have the one Dragon Ball, and then because they have that and they know that Vegeta will eventually figure out that they have it, they relocate to a different place from their kind of convenient cave. So it's more of just this crack in between a couple of mountains, I guess.
Which
or
is
like
a very
plateau.
Unsafe place to stay. especially in DBZ, where seismic activity is caused simply by people being strong in the vicinity. Like, she could easily be crushed just by someone powering up
or just
a strong
anyone
attack.
Flying overhead could easily look down and be like, hey, what's that woman doing there? I don't know why I said woman so venomously. Fuck.
Fucking girls my show.
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with me? But this episode is mostly just Bulma losing the Dragon Ball because it rolls away into some water. And by into some water, I mean literally like shin deep water. That she is unwilling to take off her boots and roll up her pant legs, or in keeping with the show, frankly, just remove her pants and like go grab it. I mean, it's literally the simplest, rolling up your pant legs or just getting your lower pants slightly wet. That's it. Like,
yeah.
There's no reason that she should go on this mini adventure where the ball eventually falls into a hole. She sees a giant pearl and decides that's a priority more than the Dragon Ball for some fucking reason.
That episode is a definition of a fucking slog.
Yeah,
like,
and
I remember just watching it and being like, oh my god, like, when is this over?
Right. And the thing, like, part of the problem with it is that this is the point in the series where I feel like they didn't really know what to do with Bulma. Like,
yeah.
She is basically just there to complain, and it's pretty annoying most of the time. And she's not even really inventing stuff, you know? Like, later in the series, I feel like she becomes a lot more useful of a character, or at least, like, funny of a character. In Dragon Ball, she's making stuff and, you know, has a purpose a lot of the time. But in this arc, she's just kind of there. And it's frustrating because that results in episodes like this, where it's just Bulma who, at this point, is still kind of just annoying, unfortunately.
Yeah. Powerless, annoying.
And kind of then she decides to go grab a pearl instead of the Dragon Ball because plot demands that she do that. Like, then, of course, Dragon Ball ends up in a giant crab's clutch of eggs. She has a little, like, mech and fights the crab briefly. Then the eggs hatch. And then we get a second episode that's actually pretty good of, like, a follow-up, which involves a pair of kind of dumb Frieza soldiers, one of whom is clearly a lizard man, yet Bulma repeatedly refers to him as a dog for some reason.
It's like an alligator face, and she's like, what do you do with dog breath?
Yeah, it's cool. It's pretty strange how that mistake was made.
How's this for a tangent that might get edited out? It reminds me of that scene in Private Teacher where the guy's clearly wearing...
Oh, no, we're not going to talk about that.
The guy's clearly wearing a like a rabbit outfit, but they keep referring to him as a rat.
Yeah, or a mouse. Yeah.
Yeah, keep going.
So she gets kidnapped by a couple of dumb Frieza soldiers who she tricks into getting, like, basically beaten up by the crab. By telling them that all of the eggs are Dragon Balls, etc. And that's like a much better episode just by virtue of having other characters to interact with instead of Bulma just making every mistake herself.
And like actually pulling one over on these bad guys and stuff. It's like actually kind of entertaining as opposed to just like, whoa, I ran into a random monster.
Yeah, or just every problem in this episode is caused by me being dumb. And just being, you know, demand, like, under the demand of the plot to make these stupid mistakes so that a thing can happen. Instead, of course, you know, it's exactly what I was talking about earlier. It feels like they know how to use Bulma correctly in her outsmarting people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And definitely the filler is, like, a problem with this show.
Most of it in this block is Goku flying around in space, training. Oh, I gotta raise the gravity, which I think that was the same as last block, right?
Pretty much, yeah. There's slight differences in that in this block, he gets into a magnetic storm that causes the gravity to go up and strobe effects to happen for some reason.
Yeah.
As he spins himself around by the ankles, like suspended in midair. It's boring stuff. And then, of course, you also have the King Kai training stuff, which is pretty much exactly the same as Goku's, except that you have the characters sparring against each other, and...
And they go against Piccolo, too, because he's like, you know, I could take you all on.
Yeah, and it turns out that he can't, because he's been, like, not doing the training, which is kind of nice to see. But, yeah, I'll definitely agree that the filler stuff is crappy. And the thing is, like, one benefit of the Ocean dub, as opposed to the Funimation dub, or I guess the original cut of the show, is that it actually cuts out a decent amount of kind of fillery stuff somehow. Like, I remember reacting in shock. I was going through Funimation episodes just because it's a higher video quality for screenshots, and, like, the Invisible Spaceship stuff was on episode 40 instead like, you know, episode 35, I guess. I guess that's not much of a jump, but still, five episodes of...
You're cutting five whole episodes is a jump.
Yeah, essentially plot irrelevant stuff. My own thoughts on this are essentially... Yeah, it's okay. It was surprisingly enjoyable, like, once I kind of started getting into the groove of it.
Once in the main plot stuff, I found actually enjoyable to watch, like, the fights and the characters. Really just the main characters and the fighting characters interacting with each other. Because, like I said last time, the shit-talking is great.
Yeah, certainly.
And, I don't know, it's just kind of fun seeing these characters get pissy at each other and then fight. And, seeing how that all turns out.
Yeah, and of course, as I believe I talked about last episode, once you get to Namek, it does actually become, even though there is obviously filler stuff, you know, there is something happening in every episode. It's not, for the most part, entire episodes of, I don't know, Goku, or Gohan, rather, making friends with a Brontosaurus. Like, you avoid that kind of real garbage.
We should have done an over-under bet at the beginning of this block on how many times we bring up Gohan befriending a Brontosaurus, because I feel like this happened every episode.
Yeah, it's...
it's all right. It's a quintessential shit filler.
No, certainly. It's definitely...
Bulma fighting a crab, Gohan befriending... Anything where it's like... Yeah,
it's one character interacting with a thing that can't, speak.
Can't interact really back, yeah.
Yeah.
That's when it's at its worst.
Yeah, no, certainly. Because the characters in Dragon Ball Z are not really strong enough to stand completely on their own. I mean, that's difficult to do with characters in a show like Mad Men. Dragon Ball Z can't really hold a candle to that shit as far as character.
Really, yeah, definitely a good show to compare Dragon Ball Z to in general.
It's so similar, but different, you know?
Yeah, the struggles of Don Draper and Goku are really, they have some parallels. Oh, geez.
Well, Goku's not an alcoholic, and we learned that this block. There's a scene in this block where Goku's looking through the fridge for something to eat.
Yeah, it might have been last block, but whatever.
Was it last block? Then we fucking talked about it. God damn it, it's running together.
Yeah, well, when it's just Goku on a ship, essentially, in case we didn't talk about it, Goku reaches into a refrigerator and grabs a beer.
Actually, don't think we did.
No, we definitely didn't. We talked about how the refrigerator has everything in the world in it, but not that it apparently has beer, which Goku just says something along the lines of, "I don't want this beer," and then throws it away.
Of course.
It grabs a sports
drink. Of course, he
drink.
Takes it out, and it's a can that says beer in all caps.
Yeah,
because
of course.
That's how everything in Toriyama's universe is designed. Beer!
Yeah. I think that, generally speaking, I can't recommend this. Like, that's really what it comes down to.
Really?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. It's okay, but... if you care about Dragon Ball Z, even if you're nostalgic for it, in my mind, Dragon Ball Z Kai is kind of the only way to go. Like, yeah, I guess maybe this is worth a revisit for like a really hardcore fan, but still, it's done more succinctly in Kai, and it cuts out the stuff that's just annoying to watch. I mean, even the fights that are cool, like the Vegeta Goku fight was preceded by Nappa charging up for like minutes at a time. I can't say that that's worth watching.
I'd say it's worth a revisit, if only for the ridiculous ocean dub, the absurd like word art titles, the like just crazy lines of dialogue that are very like 90s awesome. I think it's worth it for that, and that's something you miss out on Kai.
I haven't seen that much of Kai, to be fair.
Yeah, I think you miss out on some of that cheese. Yeah, like I'm sure they could. Well, you definitely miss out on the titles. Japanese.
Like that's certainly true. Although, if you follow our Twitter or Facebook, I am going to be uploading a compilation of every title. So,
and they are great. The last episode is called Time Tricks and Body Binds, which sounds like one of those really schlocky Amazon digital novels that people like one of those like sex fetish
digital
ones that are really
erotica
weird.
Yeah, for sure it does. It sounds like the kind of DVD you would awkwardly see the spine of at an FYE and be like, why do they sell porn here?
The kind of DVD that you hide when your parents are coming to visit. Because I just have that on my shelf.
Yeah, it's probably...
Time Tricks and Body Binds.
It's probably displayed until my parents show up, and then I'm like, ooh, better put this somewhere. Like, I don't mind if like other people come over and see this. That's fine. God. But let's talk about the bets, because once again, I just, you know, shit the bed with them, because I always do, and I am beginning to suspect I'm never going to actually pick a full series.
Now, to be fair, this one is very close.
That's true.
This is literally one off. It was actually... So, the bet was... Excuse me. So, the bet was named character deaths.
Yeah.
I got very lucky.
Yeah.
Doke suggested two, and mm-hmm. I bet four, closest without going over, and there were four, I believe, right?
Yeah, there were
actually
four,
five total.
Courtesy of two Frieza henchmen who have their names casually tossed off before they die.
Yeah. You never expect to see these characters' names, and they're just like, oh, hey, Carlo, or...
Yeah, it's Apul, you know, like apple, and
that's right.
Namol, like guacamole somehow.
Oh yeah, and Namol is just kind of this awkward looking, almost human like character.
Not almost human. He's human. He's a human.
Yeah, it's like he's a human in Frieza's army with like orange hair and like
just a regular guy.
You
know, the kinds of characters that are in this show to die, but for some reason, because I guess Toriyama loves making jokes about food, he decided to name them after food, and they're probably show up in some Dragon Ball Z video game in some form. I'm actually pretty sure Apul is in one of the Tenkaichi fucking games.
Yeah, it's ridiculous what kind of characters show up in those games.
Yeah, who is the guy who's begging for, oh man, give me Apul?
It's just related to him so much.
Yeah, that weird, like, kind of almost a xenomorph fish head, you know? Just a big, elongated back of the head.
He's that purple. Pathetic guy who just kind of fucks up and Frieza gets angry and kills him. Man, what a cool character.
I don't think Namol shows up, but I'm almost certain Apul does in something. But who knows? You know, you want to play
as another
Namol
character with that name.
I guess, you know, that is entirely possible.
I feel like there was an Apool, but it was a different guy. Kui's in it. Like, he's already Kui's shit. In it. Like,
yeah, Kui, that iconic character who's in, I think, like, three episodes. Has the claim to fame of saying, Frieza's invincible! Like, great. Better make sure. Oh, I also want to point out, this might come as a surprise to everybody. Vegeta totally has a personal grudge against the Ginyu Force in general, but specifically Goldo. Because it seems that he has a personal grudge against every character in Frieza's army. He has one against
Because it always just flashbacks to, like, Goldo made fun of him or something. He's just like, one of these days, I'll fucking destroy
you. Yeah, and for some reason in the flashback, he's wearing the, like, different design of armor that he's wearing at this point in the series, and he doesn't have a tail, because I guess, I don't know, the animators forgot or something. Who knows?
That's a good point.
Yeah, but Frieza really just has a grudge against everybody. That's, like, becoming...
Vegeta does.
Yeah. Frieza probably does, too, but... Yeah, Zarbon... Dodoria, Kui, fucking Goldo, Frieza, probably every individual member of the Ginyu Force for some reason will be treated to flashbacks on how once they were like, hey, Vegeta, excuse me, you're blocking the entire hallway.
Cheated me out of a card game.
As far as the bet goes, I lost. So what are we going to be watching, Peter? Because now you're picking both things, because I egged you on to do a double or nothing, hoping to win big, and I lost big instead.
So, let's see. The next short thing we're going to watch is going to be Johnny Quest and the Cyber Insects, I believe is what it's called.
Yep, that's the title.
Never seen it.
No, Johnny Quest versus the Cyber Insects, excuse me.
Okay, he's not with them. He's against them, specifically. Yeah. Keep that in mind, guys. When we watch this, don't get it confused. Don't get it twisted. He's not on the side of the Cyber Insects.
Yeah, I feel like there might be a scene where he's hanging out with them playing cards or something. So it'll be a little confusing, but trust us.
And then they betray him.
If only that were the plot.
Yeah.
They start out as friends and become bitter enemies, the Cyber Insects and Johnny Quest.
Now... the main series we're going to watch next, I like to be impartial on here, but someone on Twitter did recommend that we choose this next. And I considered my options and thought, well, there's not a lot of Tom 1 stuff left. I don't really want to jump to Sailor Moon immediately after Dragon Ball Z. It's a little too samey.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do Reboot. Let's fucking do it.
Yep.
The one we've been fretting.
Yeah, one of the ones we've been fretting, you mean?
Yeah. Hey, if it's anything like Tenchi Muyo, it might be really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the key difference is that Tenchi Muyo is not difficult to look at.
Yeah. that's true. Reboot, I mean, of course, if you aren't aware.
The show
gets
kind of outlandish sometimes, but it is not, mid-90s CGI humans.
Yeah. Reboot was a full CGI show that takes place inside a computer. It's kind of like a Pixar, the real life of shit inside a computer.
I would not even dare compare it to Pixar.
That's Pixar's motif for like a lot of movies. It's like, oh, this is the real life of fish. This is the real life of toys. I'm not saying it looks like Pixar at all. It's not that quality. It looks like shit. Yeah. And it really hasn't aged well. I loved that show as a kid.
Oh, so did I. Of course.
I don't think it'll be very good to watch again.
Yeah, I'm definitely fretting it. Episode.
It's chock full of references.
I'm hoping that'll make it kind of enjoyable, but of course that's for the pre-watch, I suppose. So we're going to sign off, I think, unless you have any final words on Dragon Ball Z.
Pop the dragon. That's all I got to say.
All right, yeah, sure. This has been Hyperspace Broadcasts. As always, I'm Michael Doak.
And as always, I am Peter Eby.
And be sure to revisit us next week as we tackle Johnny Quest versus the Cyber Insects. I just want to point out that a pool is playable in several DBZ fighting games, including Budokai Tenkaichi 2 and Xenoverse. Why? Some acknowledgements. Bumpers were taken from the video Toonami Dragon Ball Z Complete Bumper Collection, 1999 through 2000, uploaded by RetroCCN on YouTube. The opening and closing music is Vapor Diving by Onatech off the album Onatech Instrumentals Volume 6. You can find more of their work on SoundCloud, and you totally should. Rights were secured through Jamendo.